Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Live from the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack. Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back.
What up, H-Town, on a Thursday? Here in the beautiful city, soon to be the third largest in America, it's Barry Laminack, it's Nick Sharara, and yours truly, Joel Blank. As we rock and roll through the day before the day that is the greatest weekday in America, as we get ready for a weekend. And plenty of things to talk about today, gentlemen, both nationally, locally, and in between.
All kind of good stuff.
Yeah. Some good, some bad. Some I'm waiting for your opinions on before I pass my final judgment. First and foremost, seemingly on every sports fan in Houston's tongue today, is the Greenbrier, West Virginia, the Smoky Mountains. Your Houston Texans no longer having training camp in your home city. They are West Virginia bound for training camp. Your thoughts?
All right. Bye.
Well, here's the thing. Okay, Nick.
I mean, I get guys that go down and cover it. They get all pumped up and excited. So it's going to cost media members more to go cover training camp.
Budgetarily, media people are going to not like it.
Otherwise,
Now, they're saying weather. They're saying they're going because of weather.
That
you
was
have
my
a
biggest
bubble.
Confusion, because I'm not familiar with the weather over there. And from what I understand, it could be humid over
summer
there.
Summer is
well.
Summer everywhere. And it does get humid in West Virginia as well. But the thing that if you're going to tell me it's weather, you have a bubble. You can practice a majority of the time. And look, part of the big draw for Texans training camp were the public loved going to the open practices.
100%.
You know, they love that attachment to their team. And so now, what are you going to do? You're going to do it for the people of West Virginia who couldn't give a rat's ass about the Houston Texans before, during, or maybe after?
I'm guessing a lot of it has to do with the fact that they want to get away from the circus and the coverage early on and be able to, because, you know, I mean, obviously, the amount of media that covers it here for the local market, that's not going to be the case if they're in West Virginia. It's going to be a lot less.
This is a graduate of BBU taking his degree and putting it to work. The Bill Belichick University says exactly what you just said.
Uh-huh.
Get them out of the market where they are scrutinized on a daily basis. Get them to a place where hopefully there's not as much bright lights and hot mics. But to say it's the weather is like saying you close the roof because you want it louder in the building. I mean, it's just another farce coming from Kirby. I just think, look, be honest. You're probably getting paid. The Saints were there for 3 years. It was a huge deal financially. The Greenbrier is a phenomenal, phenomenal piece of land and have all the resources in the world. And it's a country club. And I'm sure the guys are going to love the fact that in between, as Travis has talked about many times, NFL players love to golf in between practices and when they're not practicing and all these other things. So they're going to have all the amenities. That's great. I just don't like the fact that you're taking your team out of your city when your fan base is so jacked up about being at those practices whenever they can and following their team and showing them love.
But they used to do it somewhere else. I mean, I know the old Oilers training camp was in somewhere in the middle of Texas, like way away.
I don't remember that. I know they used to have that rickety old practice facility off of OTC.
It used to be
OST.
Not Round Rock. It was San Marcos, I think. No, I don't know. It was somewhere in the middle of Texas. I remember seeing it on a map, going, "Wow, that's a long ways away." But it wasn't as, I mean, obviously it's not West Virginia, but it was still hard to get to. It wasn't that close.
But I'm looking at a list here. It says starting from 1977, they've got Nacogdoches, San Angelo, San Marcos, San Antonio, Nashville.
I think it was San Angelo.
Well, the good news is they get some outlet mall deals when they're in San Marcos.
But I mean, I don't know. I don't think it's going to be all that big of a deal to people.
I think people are going to be bummed. Let us know what you think if you want to chime in. But I think Texans fans are going to be bummed that they can't keep a really close tab and maybe go to a couple practices.
It makes me wonder
camp.
If it's just strictly a financial decision.
I absolutely believe it is.
If they're not bothered by the fans not being able to come to the training camp, something tells me there's something they know about West Virginia where, like, even though they're not Texans fans over there, it might be still well attended. It might be still well attended in West Virginia. You never know.
Maybe they're trying to get more fans outside of the Houston DMA because, look, the Cowboys, with their reputation and their global brand, they can go to California for training camp and they're going to get people. They went to San Antonio. They got people. You know, so maybe it is trying to develop the following a little bit more. I'm sure it is all financial. But at the same time, you know, you think about it. Here's the other thing. The Saints were there for the last 3 years. Then that whole part of the country got devastated by weather. And the entire Greenbrier had to shut down. They had to cancel the PGA Tour event there. And they said that the golf course may not even open until, like, July. So, with training camp right after that, I would think that all the grounds at the Greenbrier were affected. And maybe that's in part why the Saints didn't go back. And I can find out. I got some guys that work for the Saints that I've been texting with on that. But it'd be interesting to find out because the facilities are going to have to be ready to go. And obviously, they're not right now. So it'll be interesting to see how that plays out because I'm not a Houstonian born and raised, but I've been here now for 23 years. I'm bummed they're not going to be here. And I've been to the night practices and they're very cool. And you
I've
can
been
just
to the training
tell,
camps. They're fun.
Yeah, you can see how many people are passionate and love, you know, remember Hard Knocks when JJ would stay and sign after all the guys would sign and just all those people. I think there's going to be a lot more people than you think that are affected by this, that are bothered by it.
Okay.
So, we'll see. I thought you guys, being diehard born and raised, I thought it might affect you more.
Nah.
I mean, okay. For me, I don't want them to go to West Virginia, but I get it. I'm not going to be upset.
Well,
but I would rather them have the training camp here just because the experience is pretty cool. But
they made your reservations last night. You're going to training camp, I'm sure.
Nah, I'm not going to West Virginia.
Oh, yeah. You're going to come back. You're going to be happy.
First text of the day. Practice. We're talking about practice. Not a game. Practice.
There's we in here talking about practice.
Thank you, Nicholas.
can we talk about something that is disappointing to me? And I went down after our pre-show meeting to go get a sandwich. And I get on the elevator. And it smelled so bad. And there was a lady on the elevator. And I got on. And I mean, the doors hadn't even fully opened. And she goes, "It stinks on here and it's not my fault." And I was like,
nice deep cover.
Yeah. I've been there before on both occasions. One where you get on at the top floor or you get on in the middle somewhere and it does stink. And you write it down and you pick up someone on the way down. And then I've also been on there where I've actually was the one that caused it to stink because I didn't think anybody else would be getting on. And then all of a sudden you make that surprise stop after you've already farted and it's too late. And then you've got to be like, you know, someone was on here and it was... But it smelled like a combination of fart and BO. And I was like...
Oh, that's terrible.
I was like...
Fart and BO?
Yeah. And I got on and she goes, "It smells on here and it's not my fault." And I was like, "All right." She goes, "No, really." And I was like, "Okay, don't oversell it." I mean, all right.
It's better for her not to mention it.
Though. Right? Well...
Yeah, well...
I don't know. Would you mention it?
She's probably guilty. If you're mentioning it like that, you're already probably guilty.
Yeah. I mean, one time, be like, "Hey, look, it stinks and I don't know why."
Right.
I just got on and it smelled. But she was pretty adamant about, "It's not me. I didn't do it. Like, I totally didn't just fart. Like, I didn't have beans last night." And I'm like, "Whoa, wait, what? No." But... Like, if you do that, if you go that far...
Was she the only one on the elevator?
Yes.
Oh, she's guilty.
Doors open, and it smelled just...
Guilty as sin.
Ass and B.O.
Couldn't pad the brakes and squeeze the cheeks fast enough and let one slide by. I'm telling you.
Yeah. It was pretty bad. And then, you know, and it's only three or four more floors down to the... You know, because we're on four. But it was an awkward ride down.
There's a lot of awkward things that happen. And normally, they're around... like bodily functions, like bathroom things. Like the other day, I went to, during a commercial break, and Nick, you know, because...
That bathroom is notorious.
I cringe because I had to let Trav come back from break. I planned on it, right? But I went to the bathroom, And here's a guy on a ladder, supposedly fixing the tiles in the bathroom. And I said, hey, man, can I just get like a couple minutes? I got to get in here, get out. Yeah, I'll be done in a little bit. Or you can just go. And I'm like, no, see, in my mind, I'm thinking, if I got to go in a stall and you've got a drones guy view peeking on over,
I wouldn't feel comfortable. I'm not having that.
And I finally, I'm like looking at the clock and I know I got to get back and I know I got to take care of some business. And I'm like, all right, man, look, I need like 5 minutes of privacy, please. I need you guys to just step out for 5 minutes. And he looked at me and I go, oh, no, I'm serious. And he finally left. And I'm like, I can just see this dude like, hey, I'm working on the tile. And oh, those are nice underwear you got going on there. And, well, you know, I don't need all that. Dude, but why are you doing that?
You totally handled that wrong. You got to go
Shocker.
In. You got to go in. Oh, you got to go in there. And then whatever you're doing, you just got to make eye contact with him the whole time he's on the ladder and just make it really uncomfortable for him.
So here's the other thing about that.
Either one.
With what
one
you
or
just
two.
Said. With
one
what
or
you
two.
Just said.
You just stare at him.
His assistant, uh-huh. Not that I'm drawing any conclusions, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not going to say, I'm not inferring anything. I'm just saying he had an assistant. And his assistant said to me he'd really like it if I just went speedy and if he didn't mind that we were going to stay. And I just went, just not feeling all that, feeling uncomfortable, crowded, whatever you want to say, but I'm not for it. Not that there's anything wrong with it. I'm just saying I want privacy when I'm in the restroom.
Okay.
I'm
with him, dude.
I don't want
I would,
the sky
I would not
camera.
Use the restroom like that at all.
I would have just locked eyes with him and maybe even winked halfway through.
Oh, here we go.
You and Raheel would be really good at that. There's
just,
no way.
Just wink halfway through.
Yeah, but they'd be good at that, and then they'd fight at the sink about Raheel not using soap.
No. But
and then Raheel would purposely touch you all over.
Yeah, now that's true. Yeah. All over?
Oh, yeah. He'd start touching behind your ears and on your neck.
Worded it
anywhere where there's skin. Well, I mean, that's visible. How about that? So unless you're doing the lowriders on the ass crack, I think you're going to be fine.
All right.
All right, we got a lot of show to get to, and we want you to participate as we do every single day. 713-780-ESPN gets you in on the text line and also on the phone line. And you can also find us on Twitter all day long. It's @NoHitNick. @BarryIsFunny and @PacManJoel with a K. And why are you shaking your head?
Because it's @TheProducerNick.
You changed it again?
I did.
@TheProducerNick. @TheProducerNick. And if you hate Nick, you can call into the show. And before you say anything to us, you can just torch Nick because he is the producer Nick.
Yeah, my bad. I forgot to let you guys know. I did it a couple days
That's
ago.
Why I just said what I said. All right, so be a part of the show. Come on and join us, won't you? We're here till 4 o'clock. We are ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Joel, Barry, and Nick till 4 o'clock as we get in their seats, buckle up, and get ready to go. One segment down and plenty more left in the show. Nationally, boys, I texted Barry last night when it happened. I was somewhat disinterested in the Knicks and Clippers, but it was on. So I was watching it when I had to kind of do a double take to see Charles Oakley going completely nuts. And what was weird was the game was still going on and the cameras were kind of torn between, do we follow the game action or do we figure out what's going on in the stands? Then all the players just stopped on the floor and everyone started looking. And the next thing you know, there's close-ups of Charles Oakley, who is just like doing Danielson moves from Karate Kid all over MSG security guys and going nuts. And then the next thing you know, it takes like 10 guys. And they finally get Oakley to the ground. And then they break in with a Doris Burke report that said that Phil Jackson had to go in the tunnel and try and calm Oak down.
So when did Oakley go to the ground? In the stadium or outside the stadium?
Outside when they're taking him
out. In the tunnel. So the bench in that kind of tunnel way, as before he got under the full canopy, he actually went down. But before that, and what was great was I was tweeting them all and retweeting all the videos. The different angles you get. Like, one, he's got his pointer finger, but Oakley is like a big, strong dude. Back when he was in the league, he and Kevin Willis were the two strongest guys in the NBA, and both could bench like 450.
I remember now, Kevin Willis. That dude was a beast.
And to keep in mind, Kevin Willis, Charles used to call him T-Rex because he had a big body and the world's shortest arms. Mm-hmm. So they said for bench press, of course, with short arms, it doesn't take that much to get the weight to go up and down. But Oakley is just a flat-out big, strong dude, and he took no crap from anybody. But you think about his enforcer days back then, but then you look at him now, and he's not too far off. But, I mean, he was so fired up. Now, we talked to Patrick Creighton, who's a native New Yorker. On 1560. He said he talked to his guys who were there in the stands, said that the rumors are false, that he was sitting two or three rows behind Knicks owner James Dolan, that there were no words being exchanged. He wasn't yelling, but that Dolan was so freaked out because they've had issues in the past that he decided to have his security people approach Charles Oakley about either moving or being removed, and that fired him up. And then, of course, all of the security guys got in, and that's where all hell broke loose. But the fact that he got arrested and charged with three counts of assault, I think that's a bit much. I'm very interested to see how this thing plays out, because this could be like the piece de resistance of everything that has gone haywire, and everything has gone haywire with the Knicks.
Well, he did start shoving folks.
Oh, yeah, but here's the thing.
And you can't start shoving folks when they're trying to remove you.
Okay, but here's the thing. On the flip side, they started laying hands on him.
No, they asked him to leave several times, and he didn't. So you got to forcibly remove him.
You can't say you know that for sure, because I'm watching it, and I'm not going to say I know either way. But what I saw that would have aggravated me, too, was while having a discussion, the one little short guy like grabs the small of his arm, and then also grabbed, like, put a hand on his waist. And that's when you see Oakley, like,
maybe he just wanted to dance. Maybe
he
wanted to dance.
But the game operations department wasn't playing the right music.
Doesn't matter. Maybe he just was feeling it and wanted to slow dance with Oakley. But, I mean, you're right. I don't know what was said, but it appeared as though they had talked to him for a while. And I can't imagine that the whole time they were going, you know, not asking him to leave. That was the whole point of them going over there. So at some point, I'm sure someone said, hey, you got to leave, and he refused, and they were like, well, you're trespassing now because we don't want you here. So I don't know. I think it was definitely handled inappropriately by both sides.
The kicker, before the kicker, I guess, because now Oakley's talking and everything, The kicker to me, too, was the release that the Knicks put out.
Yeah, that seems silly.
The last line in itself is the one that just says, where are your grapes? Because here comes a steel-toed work boot, and makes some accusations. So here's what the Knicks released right after it happened. Charles Oakley came to the game tonight and behaved in a highly inappropriate and completely abusive manner. He had been ejected and is currently being arrested by the New York City Police Department. He was a great Knick, and we hope he gets some help soon.
Yeah, that doesn't...
The last part, any PR person in America would tell you, you don't insinuate, you don't do anything that escalates a situation. There was no need for that.
Yep, uncalled for.
Yeah, I thought that was absolutely ridiculous.
Now, the I mean, because my first thought, trying to bring it back to Houston, was, who do you think would be the Rockets version of Oakley? Like, who would be the one that's getting the slapping security around because they're so two came to
so
mind.
So current or the former?
Former. Like, okay, who would be former. The Oakley? Now, I mean, I know for me, a guy that I feel like would be like that would be somebody like Maxwell.
I was going to say, everybody's going to say VMAX right off the top.
But I think that the one that would be closer to it as far as not liking the owner is Barkley. Like, I could see Barkley sitting there buying a seat just to heckle him, and then it getting out of hand and escalating and going south in a hurry. So I would think that from a Rockets perspective, it would be Barkley. But I could see Maxwell getting into it real quick.
I think based on Charles's experiences with getting into the court system because of things that he did with fans and stuff, I think he would have a little bit more restraint. But, VMAX seems like he's – the last time Vernon was in town last year, it seemed like we spent a lot of time hanging out and talking, and he seems like he was just really in a good place and really level-headed as opposed to – before. I was with the team when he went up in the stands in Portland. Mm-hmm. I mean, he was not afraid at any time. Look, he got into it in weight rooms. He and Carl Herrera were throwing weights at each other one day and
Carl
going at
Herrera.
It. Oh, yeah.
Blast from
Amigo,
the past, right?
Yeah. And, you know, there was just plenty where when Vernon went, you just better hope he wasn't mad at you and either try and break it up or stay out of the way. But I'm trying to think now that you say that, like, who would it be nowadays? You know, or I mean, who would it be like from past situations that would come back nowadays and want a piece?
Well, I think Barkley has the most hate in his heart for the Rockets.
Yeah.
And he's got the temper.
He makes no bones about the fact that they still owe him money.
Yeah, and that's why he's always dogging them on the broadcast.
Yeah, and, you know, and what's crazy is that hearing both sides of it, but I've talked to Carol Dawson numerous times, and Carol Dawson has basically said, there's more than a little truth to what Charles is saying, too. Mm. But, you know, it goes back and forth.
Somebody texted in Otis Thorpe. Otis was too mild-mannered to be like that, right?
No, Otis could do it. One of the first ones that came to my mind.
He seems pretty mild-mannered, though. I mean, he was cut from the same cloth as, like, the Oakleys of the world, right? The big, scrappy enforcer types. But he just seemed very mild-mannered to me.
Like, his hands were so big, he could swat a fly and accidentally hit you and probably give you a concussion. You could probably be in protocol.
I was always impressed with the way he was able to catch basketballs.
One-handed, like, outlet passes.
I've seen
bad
passes being thrown where it was almost going to go out of bounds, and you just see OT just grab the ball from the top part of it, you know? Just, crazy. Like, his hands were huge.
If I would pick someone to answer that, I would say almost anybody that – we used to call it Van Gundy University. Anybody that Van Gundy brought in either to work for the team, play for the team, all had connections to him with the Knicks. It was like he was giving them their – third and fourth careers. Like, Patrick Ewing was always going to have a job. That was fine because Pat was a great player. But when you start bringing in Rod Strickland for 10 days and he shows up at the Met with us to try and play to get into game shape and goes, oh, later today I'm going to go and work out for the Rockets to try and make the squad. And I looked at him and I go, and you were sucking wind going up? He goes, yeah, I haven't played in like, but coach wants me.
Wow.
Huh. Clarence Weatherspoon. I could go up and down the list. The Van Gundy University had a lot of them.
We got a good one. And I hate to say it, but it's from OU Mike, but it's a good one.
Okay.
Meta World Peace.
Oh, for sure.
Former Rocket,
absolutely.
Too. 100%. That has to go top three.
Yeah.
No doubt.
Yep. And you know what? And here's the thing. He was certifiably crazy at times. He was great when we had him. But I'll tell you this. What people don't realize is he was the Golden Gloves champion of New York for boxing. And I remember when we first got him, Bill Worrell and I were doing a piece on him, and we were filming him at practice up on the balcony overlooking practice. And when we were done, I was like, hey, man, thanks a lot. Slapped him on the back. It was like slapping a brick wall. I mean, he was that, like, jacked up.
Really?
And you're like, and then you start looking at his bio, and then you start hearing some of the stories, and you're like, dude may be crazy, but one thing you're not going to mess with is he is one strong dude.
I totally forgot about this, and someone texted it in and said, someone tweeted to me. Who was it? I want to give him credit for it.
Oakley played for the Rockets.
Yeah.
That's what I was going to say. I was
Big
going
Daddy
through.
CP. He said, didn't Oakley play?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he actually did.
I went.
There's your answer.
That's where I was
Who
going.
Who would go Oakley that would play on the Rockets? Oakley would go Oakley because he played
Think
on the Rockets.
Think about all the old Knicks from Van Gundy University.
That's true. That's a great point.
Mark Jackson, Rod Strickland, Clarence Weatherspoon, Charles Oakley, just to name a few. And we can keep going. Patrick Ewing was an assistant coach. You know, he just... Everyone, Mark Jackson was way beyond his prime when they brought him in. Strickland couldn't even suck a lemonade, let alone suck wind. He was terrible, and he didn't last long. But he kept bringing those guys in. Someone said to me last night, somewhere in the tunnel, Oakley went down because Jeff Van Gundy was grabbing his ankle and trying to. I said, yeah, and somewhere Alonzo Mourning was winding up with a haymaker ready to take on all comers. But that it just reminded you of all that melee when Van Gundy was coaching New York, too. So interesting, but we'll see what really comes out. I want to see when the truth comes out, who ends up, because LeBron immediately came to Oakley's defense. There's a lot of people lining up to say he wasn't wrong, so we'll find out, because there were fans in the area that said they heard it and said that he didn't antagonize Dolan at all, that Dolan's the kind of guy that just wanted him out. So we'll see how it plays out. So that's your national. We also got the local, and we still have plenty more in between. By the way, Nick, in case you noticed or didn't, your favorite team in Charlotte tonight has another problem. Eric Gordon continues to have back issues. He's limited, and we'll see what he can give them tonight. I told you, it's like the barrel downhill. Once he had the first injury, it scared the hell out of me that they can start stockpiling. They got to have him. I told you, just finish strong. Win these last three before the break, and they're golden, I think. But it scares me tonight now.
Well, if it continues to be a problem, they're going to really have to really look at the trade deadline. Your boy
there's
Moore
a lot of guys being, you know, names being thrown out there, too. So we'll see how active they're going to be. We talked about some of them yesterday. We can continue to talk about that as well. So let us know what you want to talk about. We've got a whole list of things we can get to, but we're always interested in what's on your mind. 713-780-ESPN or hit us up on Twitter. Here till 4, we are ESPN 97.5. Can take you higher what this is. For God, I must now remind you.
ESPN.
97.5.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Hey, Joel, Nick, and Barry, till 4 o'clock. And, of course, our co-host every day has a lot of you. You guys are always participating, whether it be by text, Twitter, or your phone calls. You guys already chiming in on everything from farting in the elevator to the Texans move.
Yeah.
To the rocket that would be most likely to in the Charles Oakley situation. And getting back to what I was saying when you and I were talking about it, too, Nestor Carmona also heard what I had heard. Witnesses are saying Oakley didn't say a thing to the owner. And that Dolan, because they've had kind of a beef in the past, decided to have him ejected just because and then embarrass him. So that's why I said the court of public opinion is one thing. I'm really going to be interested to see how this thing plays out. I think at the end of the day, you might get a whole different side of what actually happened when the truth comes out.
Well, he did swear.
There's no doubt. You could see it. You could read every bit of it.
I saw a quote, and I'd have to go find it and pull it up, but he pretty much said, I swear on my mom. I didn't say a word.
There's video on TMZ that they interviewed him right after he got out. Yeah, and he was very adamant that he didn't.
My brother-in-law, Alex, said that he was acting like that drunk uncle you don't invite to the barbecue. And then once he does show up, he's just causing a scene. And yeah, that was pretty much
almost every male relative in my family until I was the age of like 14.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
It's just
my sister's husband and each of my sister's husbands. My dad would, any neighbors that were invited. Oh, yeah, it was a liquor fest. And then it was who was fighting with who. As a kid, you're kind of embarrassed by it. You want to make sure that there's not a whole lot of like your friends there.
Yeah.
But in a kind of a crazy way, you kind of want to sit back and watch a little bit too and see it go down.
Dude, that's the best. When people start getting drunk and letting loose, man, I can't. There's some stories that I can't tell. But those are, man, drunk uncles are the best. I mean, in general, that's why I didn't drink at the parties very much, by the way.
I thought you said you were going to Friday night, too.
I did.
I definitely drank.
Okay. You got me. So Thursday, because I was so hungover, I didn't even go to I was supposed to go. Fred gave me a ticket to the UFC fight.
Yeah.
I was so hungover, I didn't go.
Is that why you didn't go?
Yes.
Nick was all over it.
I felt horrible. I don't drink, guys. So when I do tie one on and I'm hungover the next day, I'm not used to that.
Wait a minute, you don't drink?
No.
I thought I was the one that got grilled for that all the time.
I'm not a big drinker at all. I mean, like on stage, I'll have like a whiskey and Coke on stage with me. Mm-hmm. But I don't go out every night and drink. And dude, I haven't been drunk in forever.
Well, that's what I said. But that was the neat thing about the Super Bowl. When it was here in 04, I don't remember 3 of the 6 days. Because me and my best friends were Hawaiian, and they drink like it's water.
They drink pineapple juice?
No.
Oh.
But they can drink anything pretty much.
Yeah.
But basically, by Sunday, we were giving up our tickets because we were absolutely spent from 6 straight days of going 24/7. It was crazy.
Yeah. So Thursday, I didn't drink a lot. In fact, they ran out of whiskey.
Yeah, pretty early,
Thursday,
too.
Yeah. That's how good the party was going.
Good, and then not so good.
But, so, you know, and then I knew, you know, we had to get up Friday and then get there to do Radio Row. So I didn't really drink. But Friday at the gal party, I started off, well, first of all, Monica was making drinks. And
boy, did she build a reputation.
It was like a highball. It was like a highball glass about 7/8 full. So I was like, yeah, can I get a, you know, whiskey and Coke? 7/8 full of whiskey. It was literally a splash of Coke. That was all that was left. And I probably had 3 or 4 of those.
Oh, my God.
Did you eat? Yeah.
Because you got to soak some of that
up. They had Maggiano's, and it was
fantastic. Oh, I know. It was fantastic. So good.
But what really did me in, I was okay. Like, I could hold a conversation, and my speech wasn't really impaired. Towards the end, they were trying to get close the bars down, so they had extra alcohol. And Nick, were you? I know at one point I did like 5 shots of vodka or 4 shots just in a row, just one.
I didn't see that,
and that did it. It was after all the whiskey I drank, the extra shots of vodka. I was unable to talk to my get me driver
That was going around. That wasn't just you. That was that was a trend.
Anise was so Tyler slapped the mess out of Cam in a get me ride because he
passed out.
Yeah,
because
he passed out and couldn't tell him where he lived. But it was just me and Anise, my get me driver. And he was like, "What kind of music do you like?" I was like, "I like hip hop." Like, I could not. Poor guy. I don't even know how he could understand me. And I was like, "And soul and old school."
Well,
Do you have any hip hop combined with soul?
Your illegitimate brother was calling me that night, and I could hear you guys in the background.
Who's my illegitimate brother?
Mike from Get Me.
Okay, we're not brothers.
Was calling
me. I'm going to need you to stop that.
Because he was wondering if I was good, but I had driven to that party. So I was already well on my way home.
Yeah.
But I could hear you guys in the background, and it didn't sound like it was slowing down at any time in the near future.
What time did we leave?
It was like right at 11, a little past.
Well, wasn't
11.
That the rule? Wasn't the big man? The big man said everybody had to be out by 11
because the driver. Yeah.
11 o'clock was
11
the GTFO 15. Moment.
Yes,
for sure.
Yes,
yeah.
They sent drivers, not me, but they sent drivers around 11:15.
I left early, dude. I'm telling you, I think I left at like 10:45 because we started hitting that vodka at like 10:30, and I remember bits and pieces of the ride home. And then apparently I got home and started eating Chinese food that my wife had, and it was so hot.
After you had all that food at the party?
Yeah. And then I just took my cat out to the garage for no reason. My wife was like,
"Oh, there was a reason."
No,
my wife
was like, "You're dumbass. Do you remember what you did last night?" I was like, "No, what I do?" She goes, "For some reason, you just kept yelling, 'The cat needs to go outside,' and you just kept taking him to the garage, and then you'd bring him back. And then you'd go back to the garage with the cat and bring him back." I was like, "Why did I do that?" She goes, "I don't know." I was
is this a regular thing?
No, I've never in my life have I felt the need to take the cat out to the garage, but I got so drunk that was the thing. I was just like, this cat needs to be in the garage.
Did you think you owned a dog, baby?
I don't know. Maybe,
or, Nick, that could be code.
It was, I was.
When Barry's horny, the cat needs to get out in the garage, baby. It's on. Meow.
But, So I felt so bad the next day that I texted Fred. I was like, "It's not looking good." I texted him like when I woke up at like 12:30 or 1.
Well, the big
in the
thing
afternoon,
too, from the standpoint
I was like, "It's not looking good."
Thursday
like,
night,
4 hours later,
us,
I was like, "Not going. I can't, dude. I feel so bad."
The three of us were kind of screwed Thursday night anyway. Even if you wanted to drink, simply because we had so much to do. We had gone all day, and then went right into the night, and then we were on. We were supposed to be on for an hour. We were on for more like almost two. And then we were like worried we wanted to make sure that there was still food because none of us had eaten. And so by that point, it was kind of like, we could have a couple. But, I mean, we were pretty much at the end of the day there.
Right.
But Friday night was more kind of laid back where we could all kind of relax a little bit and finally just kind of reflect and just say, whew. Because that was a week.
Dude, that was. That's why I drank so much. Yeah. I was like, that's it. I don't have anything to do Saturday. I'll just go to the fights. Well, totally screwed that up.
News out of Milwaukee, in case you missed it last night, but another nasty-looking video, and the worst fears have just been realized. Jabari Parker, again, tore the same ACL.
12 months.
In his knee. Like, yeah, I don't know if that's going to be a legit 12 the way technology is, but same knee is the first thing that says that's not a good sign. But that was a nasty injury last night. So the Bucks just get A&M product Chris Middleton back, and they lose Jabari Parker. I feel bad for the kid. So that there. Again, Rockets tonight at Charlotte in an early tip time. So we'll talk about that if you want as well. But lots of other things to kick around, including Devin Booker on a one-time Houston Rocket having some comments that I don't know if you guys saw or not.
Yeah.
But the child assassin is not exactly an established all-star NBA player to be taking shots at one sniper from the Vipers. That's all I'm going to say. ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Joel, Barry, and Nick till 4 as we continue to roll on in hour one of the three-hour extravaganza. Before we go any further, I want to remind you guys again, Tuesday, Valentine's Day. I'm sure you're unprepared. Look, I know you got things going on. I know there's a lot to do. But you know that if you do the right thing, it's a gift that keeps on giving. if you take care of your special someone on Valentine's Day. So with that being said, you need a one-stop shop. Get in, get out, take care of it, and make sure you look like a hero. It's Shari's Berries. I'm telling you, it's the deal of all deals. Because Shari's Berries start at just $19.99, so it's affordable. And that's, you just throw in shipping. And then, okay, here's what I'm going to do. For today, because yesterday we had a different deal. For today, for $19.99, you're supposed to get the extraordinary box of Shari's Berries. For just 10 bucks more, I'll let you get double the berries. So you get two boxes instead of one. So you really look like a hero, look like you went all out, and it just cost you 20 bucks. All you got to do is put in the code JBLANK in the upper right-hand corner where there's a microphone. Click on it, add the JBLANK in, you get double the berries. And your significant other is going to love it. My wife absolutely adores Shari's Berries. She keeps them in the refrigerator so they get that, just that extra little chill to them. The berries are phenomenally fresh. They're big. They're juicy. And then there's the milk, the dark, and the white chocolate. And, of course, on top, they dip them in chocolate chips, swizzles of different flavors and decorations, and, of course, chopped nuts. You can send them to her work, and you can send them to her house. Maybe you can split the two boxes, send one to each place. Either way, you look great, and it's a gift that keeps on giving. All you got to do is go to berries.com, B-E-R-R-I-E-S.com. And again, right-hand corner, click on the microphone, put in JBLANK, double the berries, 10 bucks more. Starts at just $19.99. It's a great deal. Go to berries.com and order now. With that being said, fellas, any big plans for Valentine's Day, Barry?
I will be in Dallas doing
a
show.
So I should just ask your wife. Barry's out of town. Any big plans?
Yeah, right? Who you spending Valentine's with, honey?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I got a show at the Addison Improv. It's the show I'm doing tonight. As a matter of fact, the couples therapy show. We're doing it on the road Addison on the 14th. So, yeah.
Addison is outside of Dallas.
I won't be here Tuesday because of it. I got to drive up there.
I just kind of notated it in the back of my mind in the did you know, but we didn't know yet.
I told John already.
Oh, well, don't bother telling me. I'll just adapt.
Well, he's the one that makes the decisions around here. Right?
Okay. Anyway.
Is that not the case?
I would think you consult with the guy's work.
Jeremy does scheduling and he does a lot of things.
Addison is outside Dallas?
Yeah. That's right. Yeah, it's Dallas area. It's like saying Katy or something like that.
I was thinking about that, Nick. With all the different stops that Barry makes with doing the comedy, we should call it the Doorbells and Dipsticks Tour.
Doorbells and Dipsticks.
Because, you know, you get the oil check and you get the back doorbell pressed. So it's the Doorbells and Dipsticks Tour.
Don't like it. Don't like it at all.
Well, you don't like it because I came up with it, but I thought it was kind of catchy.
Don't like it at all.
Doorbells and Dipsticks. And by the way, boys, and happy National Pizza Day.
I can dig that.
Yeah, I bet. But can you? You've been going healthy.
I mean, I love pizza.
I do love pizza, too. No question about it. Nick, you love pizza. National Pizza Day today.
Is it really?
Yes.
That's fantastic.
The Falbo Brothers boys better be firing them up on Sweetwater Boulevard.
Are you guys going to order pizza?
I've been trying to. I've been really my post Super Bowl getting back to the workouts and the eating right.
Uh-huh.
I really just the thought of it was like, man, I could really kill some pizza tonight. But I'm gonna try to stay away.
I gained 4.5 pounds in 2 days from Friday to Monday, so no pizza for me. I had gotten down.
But did it start Thursday night?
No,
the barbecue. Because
I'm telling you, I lost weight during Radio Row.
I agree with that
because I don't walk at all. And I walked my ass off all week.
I didn't eat.
And then, I'm telling you, because, you know, sometimes I'll wear my watch with the steps. I'll go home, and I won't even hit 1,000 by the time I get home at night from this show. Because I get up in the morning, and I lay in bed, do show prep on my laptop. I get in the shower. I walk to the truck. I come here. I sit my big ass in this chair. I walk back to the truck. I drive home. I get on the couch. Dude, that's like 400 steps. Like, it's not a lot. So I don't exercise at all. But on Radio Row, just getting to the place from where we got dropped off by Get Me
Radio Row kind of kept our minds off of food.
It felt like a workout.
Yeah, I didn't eat all day. Most of the days, I didn't eat all day and then was like scrambling at night going, we don't really have a whole lot and I don't have a whole lot of time because I got to get to bed anyway. But yeah, I would definitely get there
and like have like one little sandwich or one square of lasagna or whatever, then prep and hit the show. And then we were always doing stuff at night. And yeah, man, I hardly ate at all.
But the Super Bowl Bridge Club and lunch gathering, though,
The Bridge Club and
yeah,
Lunch
with McClane's wife and
oh yeah, the Bridge Club.
Yeah, yeah. And John Clayton's wife.
That was actually stuffed baked potato. I did partake in that.
Yeah, and then didn't you guys agree to try and get together now once a month to do like bridge
canasta?
We're
gonna get together for canasta. That's what we do.
I mean, needlepoint,
bunco, canasta, and bunco.
Needlepoint.
Nope.
Bingo.
Nope.
Okay.
Canasta and bunco and talking trash about the media husbands of the world.
There you
That's
go.
What we do. That's what us ladies do. That's how we kick it. That's
there
right.
you go.
That's right.
Absolutely.
Me and John Clayton's wife.
I don't know if you saw this or not last night, and I know, Barry, you did, because I was just impressed with the shooting display that went on in kind of a nothing game between Phoenix and Memphis. But the sniper from the Vipers, Troy Daniels, one thing he can do is he can shoot.
Yes.
And then you got Devin Booker, who came out after 1 year at Kentucky, has the face of a 12-year-old child, but he can shoot too. But they started getting into it. And they started talking a whole lot of mess. And then Troy Daniels pulls up from like dead on top of the key three, gets fouled by Booker, still makes the shot, comes up clutch, makes the free throw. Memphis ends up winning the game. And then after the game, when they were talking to Booker about Daniels and the mess and everything like that, I know that there's a lot of potential with this kid, but you know, don't get ahead of yourself too much. He was pretty critical of Troy Daniels.
Yeah, it's just basketball, man. I mean, talk trash sometimes. I don't know why he'd be talking to me. Been on five teams in 3 years. He has the nerve to talk trash to me. It is what it is. He's on a winning team, so you know you have those muscles when you're on a winning team, really good team. So. No, it is what it is. We'll see
what it is. If he had just stuck with the second part of that quote, I would have been okay with it. But
I think the only bad part was when he said he has the nerve to talk like that. Like you're putting yourself on a pedestal when you use that phrase. Like you have the nerve to talk trash to me? Me? Like you can't do that.
And that's what I'm saying.
But you know,
who is me exactly? He's got a lot of potential and he can shoot, but he hasn't really proven himself to be, you know, look, he was an AAU baby. His daddy played for the Rockets. He was a Kentucky kid, so he was going to be one and done. And he's started off his career fairly well, but, you know, there's no all-star appearances. There's no scoring titles. There's no three-point shooting. You know, I think it's a little early in the extravaganza that he calls his career to be, you had the nerve to talk to me.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. He's not anyone that should be saying that. You know, guys like LeBron are
yes,
the ones that
that's
say,
exactly
oh,
what I thought
you got
first.
The nerve to talk trash to yes. me? Like, that's guys that have earned it.
Back in the day, Reggie Miller, who yep. talked more than just about anybody, but he would say, you have the nerve to talk to me because you haven't done anything yet.
Yeah, yeah, this kid doesn't have the place. And then you're right, though, he finished it up. By saying they're a good team and they're winning, and you know, and he was right about the flexing the muscles when they're winning and stuff. But this kind of it's just like watching. I mean, two guys that you look at and go, who? Like,
right.
Like, well, right and, I mean, now, and I mean, I get it. He's got potential.
People around here know Troy Daniels and know that if he can't do anything else from wiping his butt to preparing his own food, we know he can shoot threes.
Yeah.
And he shot him at a high volume from when he was with the Vipers all the way up to when he was with the Rockets. And he made the huge shot in the playoffs against Portland a couple years ago. So you know he can shoot it, and everybody in the league will tell you that. That's why he has a job, no matter how many teams he's been with in the last couple of years.
Right.
So to me, it's like, know your place, stay in your lane, and I'm sure maybe there will be a day that you know your career and your stats tell you that, yeah, you know what? You can talk a little crap now. But it ain't yet in my mind, but boy, he bumped his gums pretty good. So... No, just my thoughts on that. All right. Well, we've got plenty more to get to. And, of course, fortunately, Nick, I can't find what I'm looking for. So we'll get to some other things and take care of some business on the other side. We've got one in the books, two to go, plenty more show. So please be a part of it if you can and if you will. 713-780-ESPN. Hit you up on text line and calls, or you can hit us up on Twitter. We'll do a good job of kind of regrouping in the break and checking all the social media to see if we missed anything. I see there's been a lot of tweets. And we'll get back to you with much more right here on ESPN 97.5.
Take it, take it, take it, take it, take it all. Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
You're due for your biannual cleaning, something you usually forget and would rather not remember. But you just got a reminder from the dentist you look forward to seeing. The Gentle Dentist, the only dentist you're happy to come back to. The Gentle Dentist in Worthington. How can we make you smile? Call 614-431-3311.
July 4th member-only doorbuster deals are on at Lowe's. Right now, rewards members save $50 on a select Charbroil 4-burner gas grill, now just $149. Plus, save over $500 on a Whirlpool top-load laundry pair, now $886. Not a rewards member? Sign up for free today. But hurry, these July 4th doorbuster deals won't last long. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/7 while supplies last. Program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.